A reading from the book of Jeremiah. The word of the Lord came to me, saying, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I dedicated you. A prophet to the nations, I appointed you. But do you gird your loins, stand up and tell them all that I command you. Be not crushed on their account, as though I would leave you crushed before them. For it is I this day who have made you a fortified city, a pillar of iron, a wall of brass, against the whole land, against Judah's kings and princes, against its priests and people. They will fight against you, but not prevail over you, for I am with you to deliver you, says the Lord." The word of the Lord. A reading from the first letter of St. Paul to the Corinthians. Brothers and sisters, love is patient, love is kind. It is not jealous, it is not pompous. It is not inflated, it is not rude. It does not seek its own interests, it is not quick-tempered. It does not brood over injury. It does not rejoice over wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. If there are prophecies, they will be brought to nothing. If tongues, they will cease. If knowledge, it will be brought to nothing. For we know partially, and we prophesy partially. But when the perfect comes, the partial will pass away. When I was a child, I used to talk as a child, think as a child, reason as a child. When I was a man, I put aside childish things. At present, we see indistinctly as in a mirror, but then face to face. At present, I know partially, then I shall know fully, as I am fully known. So, faith, hope, love remain, these three. But the greatest of these is love, the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Jesus began speaking in the synagogue, saying, "Today this scripture passage is fulfilled in your hearing." And all spoke highly of him and were amazed at the gracious words that came from his mouth. They also asked, "Isn't this the son of Joseph?" He said to them, "Surely you will quote me the proverb, 'Physician, cure yourself,' and say, 'Do here in your native place the things we heard were done in Capernaum.'" And he said, "Amen, I say to you, no prophet is accepted in his own native place. Indeed, I tell you, there were many widows in Israel in the days of Elijah, when the sky was closed for 3.5 years, and a severe famine spread over the entire land. It was to none of these that Elijah was sent, but only to a widow in Zarephath in the land of Sidon. Again, there were many lepers in Israel during the times of Elisha the prophet, yet none of them was cleansed, but only Naaman the Syrian." When the people in the synagogue heard this, they were all filled with fury. They rose up, drove him out of the town, and led him to the brow of the hill on which their town had been built, to hurl him down headlong. But Jesus passed through the midst of them and went away. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
These words are taken from the first reading that we heard proclaimed. Stand up and tell them all that I command you. A strong will. In finishing my master's degree in school administration, one of the professors wanted us to listen to a series of tapes from other leaders, either current or people from the past, in their leadership, especially in education. And this one tape in particular, I remember the story he told. Don't ask me about one thing he said in that presentation. I have no idea and I don't remember. But I do remember this story, and it affected him. He was at the time the superintendent of public schools in Los Angeles, back in the late 60s and early 70s. You're probably quite familiar that during that time, things were pretty hot in our country. There was a lot of revolt. People wanting to kind of like overthrow, if you want to say, those in authority. And there was kind of like a lot of chaos going on, especially in our major cities. One day, the police came to see him and said, "We can't guarantee your safety. So what we advise you to do is that when you go to work and when you go home, you take a different route each and every day. Don't repeat what you do, because you get into a pattern that will make you an easier target. So choose a different way to go to work, a different route on the way home. Keep doing that and keep mixing it up, and that will be a better safeguard for you." And I was thinking, like, say, here in Prairie du Chien, let's say you live and work here in Prairie du Chien. How many routes could you think of to get to work and back? There are not many at all. But can you imagine what kind of a situation this man was in? He said he followed it for a first maybe month or so, but then decided, they can find me anytime and anywhere. So he said, I just decided I'm just going to go to work and back the same route, and that's just the way it's going to be. Now, why do I bring that up? It's because in our first reading today, and even our gospel passage, we hear of two individuals that were really challenged, people who challenged them because of what they were doing and what they were saying. Our two people that we heard is Jeremiah and Jesus himself. Now, before we get to our first reading today, I just want to take you back to the first reading we heard last Sunday from the book of the prophet Nehemiah. We also heard of two people in that passage. First of all, Nehemiah himself. If you could imagine, once the people had returned from exile, he was going to physically rebuild the temple, the city wall of Jerusalem, the environs, and actually the whole countryside. But then he would also become then their leader. But it was Ezra's task to rebuild the faith, because what had happened over the course of time and over generations, the Israelites were losing the faith. They didn't have the total understanding of the word, the law, and what God was teaching them, what who God is and how God was effective in their lives and how it should be. That was what we heard last Sunday, to rebuild. But now we hear it today from Jeremiah, and there's two different things in here in this passage. The first thing is the call of Jeremiah himself. We did not hear the full call, and I'm going to fill in what we did not hear. In the passage that we heard that the Lord called Jeremiah to be a prophet right from the very beginning, right at the time of conception. We heard how Jeremiah says, "The Lord has called me, and in my mother's womb he knit me." Now, what you didn't hear is Jeremiah responding back to God's call and questioning, why is God calling him to this task? He said, "I'm too young." He said, "How can I have an effect among people?" It is estimated that Jeremiah began his being a prophet at the age of 13. Young in our standards, then you were probably about middle-aged. But God said, "Don't say you are too young, and I will give you the words." And there's an image that is given in that passage where he touched the lips of Jeremiah. And then we have what we heard today. "Stand up and tell them that all I command you. You are going to speak on my behalf." Now, as you can imagine, Jeremiah faced terrible opposition. If you look at the prophet Jeremiah, almost every step, people were against him. There was only one time where there was a king that was a little bit more open to him and tried to help Jeremiah implement what was to be implemented, getting back to worshiping God and believing in him. But once that king died, the new king went right back to different idolatry. Things were so bad for Jeremiah that even his own country people had him murdered. Jeremiah was strong-willed. He had to be. And he stood up to face the opposition with the help of God. And in our gospel passage for today, we hear even Jesus. The first line we heard today was also the last line from the passage from last week, where Jesus beginning his public ministry. But we heard also too the opposition in our passage for today. They questioned, who is this? Isn't he the son of the carpenter? And when Jesus tried to open them up to the Torah and to the prophets, they said, this is too much for us. And what did they want to do? Wanted to see that he be put to death. But it was not Jesus' time. Jesus was strong-willed. He faced the opposition, even to the point of his own giving of his life. But he did so to do the Father's will. As we hear then proclaim the gospel account of St. Luke, always listen to the word of Jerusalem. Jesus had in mind that this is where he was going to suffer and to die. But this was to fulfill the Father's will. And he was going to face all the opposition and take it upon himself on the cross. Now, why is this important for us? We are also called to do the will of the Father. But we might want to ask ourselves, how well are we doing? Are we truly doing what God wants us to do, to be open to his word and the encouragement he gives each and every one of us as he calls us by name to follow him and to do his will? But we also could be the people that we heard about in Jeremiah and the Lord himself who opposed anything that they said, not changing their hearts as God was calling them to do. In about 4 weeks, we're going to begin our Lenten season. And maybe this might be a good reflection for all of us. Are we fulfilling and doing the will of the Father? Do we have a strong will, which is the will of doing what God is calling us to do? To be renewed once again, to do his will rather than our own, and to love and to serve God in this life. Will we meet challenges? Yes, we will. Will we be opposed? I'm sure we will be. But if we're truly doing what God wants us to do and living out the truth that he has given us, we can use the example of Jeremiah and the Lord himself and ask for his grace to help each and every one of us to be strong and have a strong will.